That DJ was amazing. He literally was playing 90s, early 2000s, which is my favorite era. Like, takes me back to high school. Like, I was dancing so hard, and I was sweating so hard, I had to change pajamas. Thank God I brought a second set of pajamas.
You're listening to Untamed, a podcast dedicated to empowering you, the lash artist, while providing insights on how to achieve success that is as individual and unique as you are. Each episode, me, Cheryl,
and me, Anne-Marie, share our best information openly, without reservation. We discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds for the lash industry.
So grab a snack and your comfiest sweater, and get ready to geek out with your new lash BFFs. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe!
Hey, Lash friends, and welcome back to the Untamed podcast. This is Anne-Marie, and today I have Leola of Bewitching Lashes with me. You may notice that lately we are sharing stories of lash artists that aren't front and center of the industry, and I'm thankful to hear that you guys are enjoying these stories. After all, most of us are solo lash artists or working in a salon and thrive on creating a beautiful customer experience. However, today's guest is a solo lash artist, but she began expanding into another avenue in our industry. So without further ado, let's get into Leola's story. Welcome, Leola.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, thank you for joining me today. I'm so excited to have you on.
No, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's so great to have you. So can you start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and your lash industry experience?
Yes. So I've been in the industry for about 7 years now. When I got my esthetician license, I was living in San Diego at the time. I had moved from Kansas, my home state, to San Diego, and I was working at Massage Envy as a receptionist. And honestly, with the climate change for me going from one extreme climate to the other, I started breaking out. So with me, you know, working at a place that offers facials, I started getting facials. And over time, with learning about skincare and stuff, I was really intrigued. And I was like, I want to do this. I want to educate people on how to care for their skin because people really don't know, honestly. And so I decided to go to esthetician school. I found a really great school. And the funny thing is, when I was in school, one of my teachers who offered an extra eyelash class did a demo for us on eyelash extensions. And when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, I'm never doing that. That looks so She's literally placing them on one by one. And I literally walked to the other side of the classroom and started doing something else. And fast forward, once I graduated from school, got my license, I was applying to places. Keep in mind, I was dead set on doing facials. I really love doing facials. I just applied to this random lash company, had an interview, got hired. I was like, what the hell? And literally started doing lashes and fell in love with it. I fell in love with the craft, the art. I fell in love with making clients feel beautiful and give them the confidence to be their best self. After working there for about a year, I was in San Diego for 2 years. I moved here to Texas. In the Houston area, they had this company all over. So I just transferred to one that was close to me. I worked at a few locations here, and after a while of just being unhappy and realizing how toxic the environments were at these particular companies, I decided to start my own business. I found a place that was really cheap, only $400 to rent.
Nice.
And kind of just said, fuck it, and went for it. With me not being from here, I didn't have like any friends really to do their lashes, and they tell everyone about me. So I literally had to grind. And I told myself, I'm only going to be as successful as the work that I put in. So I literally just put myself out there. I ran a bunch of specials just to get people in my doors, and all those clients turned into regulars. And it was right before holiday season. You already know holiday season is busy. So then I got a bunch of clients from that. And that's basically how I built up my clientele. And then I've had my business for 4 years now. So yeah, that is my journey so far.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, what was it like to leave a salon where they're probably pumping in a bunch of clients and making that transition and shift of going solo? Were there any challenges, or was it pretty seamless for you?
There was challenges because, you know, at that place, they get the clients for you, they book the clients for you, they market, and then like going on my own, you know, not really knowing a lot of people here, it was very challenging. And like I said, that's when I decided I got to put myself out there. I got to get out of my comfort zone. I literally just on my business Instagram started following a lot of local people. I started following a lot of hairstylists and I would message them like, hey, I'm running a special. So if you or anyone's interested in getting eyelashes, you know, this is my information. That was just the challenging part, just going out of my comfort zone. I mean, giving people my business cards, you know, letting people know that I do lashes.
Oh, that is a bit intimidating. Do you have any tips for our listeners on just how to get out of your comfort zone and go for it to try to gain clients in that way?
I would just say, just do it.
Just I love
it. Big girl pants and just do it, because if you contemplate it forever, you'll never do it. So you just got to do it and just tell yourself you got to hustle and grind, you know, to build your clientele. And speaking of that, last year, during the middle of COVID, I had my son. So we had shut down here in Texas for about 2 months. Then went back to work. I went back to work for a month once we finally opened. And then a month after that, I went on maternity leave. So when I came back from maternity leave, I basically had to grind again and build my clientele all over. I did have some clients stay with me, but some of my clients left because they knew I was going on maternity leave prior to shutting down. So they didn't want to have to come back for that month and then find a new lash artist all over again. So literally I had to like grind. And at this time it was even harder because when I first started my business, I was one of the only lash artists in the area where I live. There was just a few of us. And then fast forward, now they're like everywhere, like Starbucks, you know? So I had to work twice as hard getting my name out there again.
Oh my goodness. It's definitely a challenge, I think, and something that I find just the utmost respect for is every lash artist who goes out there and is able to build their clientele, because it is not easy. We get into this, like you mentioned, like you love making clients feel beautiful and confident. So we all usually share something similar, like at the core of why we love doing lashes. So it's like, can I not just sit down and make people feel beautiful all day? Having to do the other part can be quite challenging. So I think that's amazing. And for you to have to build and then having the pandemic hit and then build and then having your son and then build.
Oh yeah, it's a lot. I mean, and then there was just, you know, some clients had to stop getting lashes because of COVID. People were losing their jobs.
True.
You know, so people had to choose, you know, what they wanted to pay for. And now there's inflation. So it's big crazy.
I actually wonder, what is your opinion on how to kind of keep clients through these uncertain times, just with people losing their jobs? Is it just more taking the approach of trying to keep an influx of clients coming in? Or is there tips that you've done in your salon to try to help just, I don't know, keep the client longer before they have to make that decision to stop getting lashes?
I would say use kind of like a reward system. Everybody likes discounts and free shit. So like, you know, loyalty punch cards, you know, reward them for their loyalty for staying with you. Just the little things, you know, go over beyond like your customer service and stuff like that. You know, Christmas is coming up. So even like cute little Christmas gifts for your clients, you know, just to show your appreciation.
I love this. I think giving back is the best. And then I also really like that you mentioned, make sure your customer service is like on point. Don't let that slide.
Anybody does lashes. And you got to be likable. This is one thing that one of my esthetician teachers always said that I took with me. Like, they can go down the road to Sally and get their lashes done, but they're going to come to you because they like you. You have to be likable. You need to build relationships with your clients. I know some lash artists just like for their client to get on the bed and just be quiet and let them work. I'm not gonna lie, I have moments where I'm feeling like that too, but I really do enjoy building relationships with my clients, especially the ones that's been with me for years. They've been through me with milestones. I got married, I had a child, the pandemic, and then they've had milestones happen. So you just need to be likable and build a relationship with them, and they're gonna come to you because they like you.
That's an awesome tip. Oh, you guys heard it here. This is great. Thank you for sharing your tips. Now, you were doing the solo lash artist thing, and then you started a like apparel line. Can you tell me about what that shift was and a little bit about Bewitching Lashes?
Yeah, so I decided I wanted to add something onto my business so I can make more money to grow it. I am very terrified of talking in front of people, so I ruled out teaching, offering education. Doing a product line sounds stressful as hell, so that was a no. And at the time, I was buying, you know, lash shirts from various companies because I love lashing in a t-shirt and like leggings or biker shorts. I just think it's cute and comfortable. So I was like, you know what? Why don't I start doing apparel? So last summer, I launched my first shirt. I'm actually wearing it right now. It was very successful. And then next project was my spooky lash school design, which people loved. I did a sweatshirt and a t-shirt, and it was very successful. And I'm like, okay, so I've did two drops, very successful. I want to keep doing this. And over the time, I really grew to love creating the designs myself. And then I just love it. It gives me the same feeling that doing eyelash extensions gives me, which is crazy because I never thought I would love something else just as much. And I just love it so much that I hope that I could do it full time. I would love to do merch full time. Like, I have so many ideas, so many things that I want to do. So yeah, the shift was a little difficult just because I had never done that before, you know? So when it came to like behind the scenes stuff, like inventory, creating shipping labels, the weight of the packages, all the little tedious stuff like that, that part was challenging, you know? And like, I started out creating my designs using vinyl. And even that was a little difficult, learning how to use that. And then, you know, I have a heat press. And now I've just upgraded to like screen prints. They're so much better and they last longer. And then even now with some of my stuff, I'll create the design, but I have this local lady. She does like the screen printing for me, especially when I do bigger drops, because it's like, that's tedious. Pressing 100 shirts. And then sometimes I mess up a shirt and I'm like, all right, I messed up a shirt, trash. Whereas if, you know, and that's less inventory I have when it comes to the drop, whereas her, I'm going through her. If she messes up, she's going to give me money back or create me another one, you know? So yeah, that was just a little challenging just because I never done it. I've been doing lashes for so long and here I am doing something new, but I've been doing apparel for a year now. And now it's like, it's easy.
You started with dipping your toe in the water, just trying it out, kind of keeping it more manageable, right? So you didn't necessarily go, oh, I'm making this shift 100% and went all in. You just let it build organically.
Right.
You mentioned a couple of the challenges that I kind of want to dive into is just all of those more like operational things, like the weight of the package, printing the shipping labels, all of those different things. What advice would you give for lash artists who maybe think they want to start an apparel line? How can they know if it's a good fit for them? And what challenges may they face?
If they're wanting to start it, I would just say, just go for it. Maybe start with a basic design, one item, and just drop it and just see, you know, what happens. Kind of like you said, dip your toe in there. Sometimes what I like to do too, before I even announce that that's going to be my design, I will create the graphic for it and post it on my social media as content and just see if people like it, comment. Sometimes it'll blow up and I'm like, all right, they love it. Let me put this on merch. They love it this much as a graphic just sitting on my Instagram or something. Maybe they'll buy it if it's on a shirt. I would say do it like that. Just start with something simple. That's what I did. One shirt and just saw how people liked it. And then I just, you know, each drop, you know, went from there. Some people even, I'll have some lash artists comment or message me like, hey, you should do this. Hey, you should do that. You know, so I always love taking advice. They're my buyer. So I want to listen to what they want to see me do. Also, some of the challenges, you know, sometimes I face is just being original. That's the one reason why I create my designs. I like to stay unique and original. And there's times where I come up with an idea and I'm just scrolling on Instagram and I see someone already has it as their content or someone already has merch with that same concept. And I'm like, shit. Back to the drawing board. So sometimes that's challenging, or it could be challenging. Some people steal my content. And again, like I said, a lot of times I would post it on my social media first just to see how well it does. And one of my designs, a lot of people were just stealing. I would just scroll randomly and see so many people steal it. I'm like, shit, I've already decided I want this to be on merch and I haven't dropped it yet. What if somebody else decides it and steals the design? So I was really nervous about that. That can be frustrating at times because like people will steal your content and not even give you credit for it. I've had someone steal a design and put their own watermark on it like it was theirs.
Ooh.
which is bold because a lot of these people follow me. That's how I find out too. I'll go look at their, I was like, oh, I got a new follower. Let me look at their page and I'll be scrolling and see they just stole my shit. One person came across the other day, stole my graphic and stole the whole caption, everything I said verbatimly. So yeah, that could be a little frustrating.
Yeah, I can tell that it's definitely frustrating for you. And I think that a lot of us can recognize what that's like. I had like a story when I was working as a solo lash artist that, oh guys. So I came in one day and I was working in a salon suite and all my menus and business cards that were left outside the door were like ripped up and thrown on the floor. And I thought, huh, And then I was just like picking them up. And I usually like would walk around and just see what's going on. Cause you guys know me. I support everyone. Like I want everyone to do well and find their own unique success. And then I found a different girl who had copied my menu 100%, just had changed out like her pricing, but the layout, the format. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. I guess people like the layout enough to want to copy it. Now, I don't think there was a correlation between like her ripping it up and, you know, because there were just kids who would run around and cause like a little bit of chaos in the salon suite. But yeah, you know, that even as simple as like a menu, I remember in that moment being like, oh, I was flattered. I was happy that maybe it would help her grow. But then I was also frustrated because I remember how much time I spent making this menu.
Exactly.
Which sounds like, hilarious. But
stuff into creating my content. And sometimes there's no time. I'll just take a little picture and slap some words on it. Bam. But there are times where I do take time to create something and, you know, come up with that. And so it is frustrating when someone steals it. Now, over time, I try to not let it bother me. I take it as a compliment. I'm like, oh, they must like my stuff if they're stealing it. If they didn't, they wouldn't steal it. So I'm like, it's a compliment. They like it, I guess.
But even just coming up with those witty little lash phrases that you come up with, that's not easy.
Like, oh, it's not. Sometimes I'll be staring at my phone and my notes for like an hour or so, just trying to come up with the perfect caption or something that I know that's going to grab people's attention. A lot of time sometimes goes into it.
I'm sorry that people are taking it. And I mean, the watermark on top of something that isn't theirs always kind of makes me step back. I'm like, whoa, really? So I hope that anyone who checks out Leola's page, if you want to hype her up and reshare her stuff, just tag her.
And for all the people who do share it or the people who post it and tag me and show me love, thank you so much. I appreciate y'all.
I know. It's so interesting, but you know, I understand where you're coming from, that if that's spreading everywhere and they're not tagging you, it's kind of like, huh, like that's a bit of my art. It's a bit of my soul. And then also, I guess you could also see that if people are taking it and putting it everywhere, when you do launch the design, hopefully it really spreads.
Yes.
Like really, really spreads throughout the industry.
I understand that some stuff is going to just be recycled and repeated, especially when it comes to education, because we're all lash artists. So you may see someone talking about retention issues, the same type of stuff, maybe a different graphic, you know? So if I see something that inspires me, I'll just try to recreate it with my own spin, you know, or make it different. Like, for example, the other day I created a graphic that got a lot of love. It was the one, it was like recipes or something to all the lashes that will fall during lash shedding season. I actually was planning to use a graphic that I did for that last year. And it was like a headstone, and below the headstone was like lashes, looked like kind of like a grave. And literally I was scrolling online and a big name brand lash company had created a new graphic with a headstone, you know, kind of like with the same saying. I wasn't mad. Like, they probably don't even know who I am. I'm little. But I was like, damn it. So I was like, they're a pretty big name. They got a lot of likes. Let me recreate it and make it my own. So I was like, oh, I got that idea to do like a coffin with lashes inside of it with the same message, you know? So I was like, okay, I'll just recreate it. Same vibe, just different graphic, you know? So there's nothing wrong with that, with getting inspiration from somewhere, because I see, you know, stuff all the time that I love and I'm like, I'm just going to make it my own.
Right. No, I totally understand that. It's so much that we can do in this industry, and to draw inspiration, a lot of times that something might come out that I know I've been working on for a long, long time. And I'm like, oh man. So it definitely happens. How do you overcome those moments? And what is your mindset like about it whenever you're work so hard on something, but someone else gets to it first?
Like I said, I just try to look at it as a compliment. I mean, there are times, I'm not gonna lie, where I just want to be petty and comment underneath the photo and say something like sassy, like, oh, I'm so glad you love my design. Or I'm so glad you love my design. I actually have merch for sale on my website. You should buy it. But I'm like, you know, I'm not going to be petty.
See, that's the difference in us. You think that's like petty because you're just like all worked up. Whereas like I would comment that and be like so genuine. Like, I'm so happy you like my design. I would be so giddy about it.
I wanted to do it so many times, especially the girl or a particular person who stole it, put their own watermark on it, or the one person that stole like my whole graphic and what I was saying in my post below. But I'm like, you know what? Guess I'll just be nice And then I'm also a person that doesn't like confrontation whatsoever. So
even commenting nice, you're like, I don't want it to be taken the wrong way.
Yes. So I just let it be whatever. And then, you know, and then I'm also like, maybe some of the people are like newer lash artists and just don't know that that's just kind of bad taste to steal someone's content and not tag them.
Do you have any tips to give our listeners on creating content? I mean, if you like to do it, maybe it's natural, but what about those who like are knowing that it's not something they really enjoy doing, but they know they need to get some content out there? Like, any tips for those artists?
For someone who may not really enjoy it, I would say kind of create something maybe that's simple and doesn't take a lot of effort or thought, because if you're trying to do something that's super difficult, it's just going to drive you crazy. And if you're in a creative rut, like sometimes I get, like I said, just take a break and step back from it and just wait, and inspiration will come to you at some point. Like I'm literally in the grocery store and I see something that inspires me. So I jot it down in my phone before it leaves me and I forget. Also, batch working, just take some time out of your schedule and just create a bunch of content that you can post, you know, so it's not like, okay, I need to create something new. What am I gonna post? So you're sitting and taking all this time trying to create something. Whereas you have like a couple of things already created, you can just post them. And I also really like those apps where you can post on there and it already kind of shows your layout, the planning apps. I love those because I love for my page to aesthetically look good. So I love posting it there first just to see. And if I don't like it, I kind of like switch it around a little bit and change some things. Mood boards I create mood boards, inspiration on Pinterest. That'll help too. For your vibe and what you're wanting to create, that definitely helps.
This is all good tips. Really, really good. I appreciate you for answering these and sharing.
Yes, I really love creating content. Like, I really enjoy it. It's so crazy. Like, especially like when I have like a graphic or something that blows up, it makes me feel so good. Like, yeah, I created that. You know?
I know. Oh, that's so nice.
it's a nice compliment to have the comments or the likes. It makes me feel good, especially when there's times where I spend so much time trying to create something and I'm like, God, all these hours that went into it, it's worth it.
Oh, that's awesome. So with your apparel line, because I was going to say Bewitching Lashes, but I know that's your studio name too. So...
I guess Bewitching Lashes, like the apparel's under it too. I really don't have like a separate name really. I think eventually I kind of was with me doing apparel. I think I want to change the name a little bit to like just Bewitching Lash Co., like Lash Company.
Oh, that's cute.
You know, just like a little minor change.
Now, when you were getting your apparel side of your business going, how did you go about finding lash artists to like your merch? Because oftentimes solo lash artists, like, their clientele are the only ones maybe following them, or some friends and family. Maybe they have just a few lash artists who follow them. But how did you really make that change from targeting clients to targeting stylists?
Well, it got to the point to where all of my posts, I would post on my page, because when I started it, I had lash pictures and lash merch stuff on my page. So I started creating content that would target more lash artists. I started using hashtags that would target more lash artists. And then in some of my posts as well, I would tag lash artists so they could see it and repost it themselves to their stories. And then even eventually I made the shift where I finally created a whole separate page for lashes for clients. Just to separate the two, because I feel like with me still having like lash photos and stuff on there, it would get confusing to the viewer and even the algorithm too. Like, are like the algorithm, is it going to push it to like clients or lash artists? I was like, you know, I just need to separate the two all together, which has helped tremendously. So now my content on my main page for lash merch is strictly just stuff that's for lash artists. So yeah. And then I also like to order like a few extra shirts, so for each drop I will send them to people.
Smart.
Just to kind of help get my name out there too, and they usually will repost and share it. People who are following them will then follow me and stuff.
I like it. I am definitely a huge fan of having separate pages for all the reasons you mentioned. I think it makes a ton of sense. And I like that you give back and send shirts out in hopes that someone would post about it, because that's definitely a great, great way to gain just some attention on your page. I definitely have had a lot of merch sent to me over the years. And it's so funny because I try to clean out my lash merch like in my closet, and then more keeps coming in. And I know every time I post it, it catches attention. And it's always different artists who are drawn to different designs. And so I think that's what's really cool and unique is the people who were DMing me saying that they really like your merch were people who had never really DM'd me before, because your style is very different than what the industry has right now. So I really appreciate that.
I'm a person that's extra as fuck. I like to be different. I like to stand out. Like, I had 3 wedding dresses when I got married. So I create my designs and stuff. I like for them to be different and a little more edgy. And that's why I feel like even though there's other brands out there doing lash merch, like there's enough room for out there for everybody. And everybody has different tastes, where I like the unique stuff, the edgy stuff, the overtop stuff. Someone else might like more of the simpler design, you know, with maybe just a simple lash quote on the front. So there's room for everybody. And there's even that doesn't like bother me either, that there's other brands. And like, you know what? I get a kick out of seeing what other brands come up with. Like, I'd be like, damn, why did I think of that? That is so clever. And I just love seeing someone else's creativeness, seeing what they came up with. Like, for example, Mags Lashes, she created Lash Religion. A lot of her stuff is very unique and different. I'm like, dang, how did she come up with that? I didn't even think of that. That's so cool. So yeah, I love seeing what other people come up with. And I'm, you know, and I would even love to collab with some other people too, like get 2 great minds together and create something. I think that'd be cool as well.
I love that. And like you said, all these brands of apparel, they're all very different. Like the ones that are rushing into my mind right away, the styles are all just different and they're all awesome.
Yeah.
It's just all different vibes. Now, do you have any new merch coming up? Like any new drops that you want to tease or give us an inside scoop?
I'm working on something right now. It's going to be a crew neck. It will be dropping mid-November. So right after we get back from LashCon. So everyone keep an eye out on that. I'll be posting details about that soon.
Oh, I can't wait.
I'm super excited just because it's finally getting cool enough here in Texas to even wear sweatshirts. You know, we don't even have a true fall. I've been wanting to wear crew necks and stuff. And it's like, God, it's so hot. It's finally cooling off. So I'm super excited to be able to wear a crew neck to work.
I'm really excited to have that drop. And you said right after LashCon. So you're going to LashCon this year.
Yes.
Obviously, like I'm going to be there too with Untamed Artistry. And it's so funny to think about it because last year I met you at LashCon, but it was the very last day as all the booths were breaking down and you were just like chilling, sitting by a wall, like just like, after the whole event. Do you remember that? That's like when I first met you.
I do. It's crazy that we came like thousands of miles to meet when like you're literally 10 minutes from me.
I know. That is just so wild.
I became friends with at LashCon was saying there was like another lash artist in the Houston area trying to find another lash artist in Houston. And she had pointed to you. And I remember we started talking and I'm like, oh, what area you live in? And you said the Woodlands. And I'm like, what? I'm in Conroe. That's right down the road.
I know. We're so close.
Like, that's so crazy. And now it's like come full circle. And like, here we are.
It's so nice.
And I've built a relationship with you. And I look up to you and everything.
Oh, I look up to you, actually. What? you're doing amazing things.
Thank you.
At LashCon, we're wanting to just tell everyone about Bewitching Lashes. It's already just so up and coming. It's like the next greatest thing. I truly, really think that your apparel line is able to take off if you want it to. It can go wherever you want it.
Thank you. I may or may not be wearing my new merch at LashCon.
And I'm hoping that I can get it early for me and our team.
Yes, that'd be nice. You guys could wear it and show everybody.
Yeah, definitely. I'm like, that'll be so cute. I'm definitely very, very excited to have you at LashCon. Now, LashCon is a great opportunity for stylists to meet other stylists, talk to brands, hear great speakers. But I want to dive into this a little bit with you on both sides of it. So starting with being a brand. So, you know, you're building up for Bewitching Lashes. Did you get a booth this year? Like, how are you taking advantage of this to the best for your business?
I did not get a booth this year. hopefully I'll be able to get a booth next year. I am a sponsor, though, a smaller sponsor. So, you know, my logo and information will be everywhere. On the LashCon app, they'll have a virtual booth that will have all my information. I also will be in the swag bags. So I'm really excited about that. It's crazy. Last year was my first year attending LashCon. And then now this year, I'm a sponsor. So really excited to do that and be a part of it, even if it's in a small way.
I love that. I think that's one thing that maybe isn't well known is that LashCon is not just for mega brands, you know?
Yes. And that's what I liked about their sponsor packages. They had stuff that was more affordable too for someone who maybe can't yet afford to do a booth yet. So I like that they had that option, and that's why I jumped on it. I see it as small. It was funny. I was talking to a girl that I met at LashCon the other day, and she's like, "You're going to be a sponsor this year, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, girl, I'm just a small sponsor." And she was like, "No, we are not about to downplay you being a sponsor."
Exactly.
That is so awesome. I'm like, "You're right. You're right." And I'm just happy that Paul and Tuss do have affordable options from our smaller brand like me that aren't big yet. But yes, I would love to do a booth eventually.
I love that. I think that being in swag bags is great because I don't know. I'm the lash artist who likes to kind of just go through it all, see what's in there. And my favorite part about swag bags has really always been merch or any type of thing like that, because it's so fun. You know, it's nice to see all the other brands and products in a bag, but man, something about the merch I was always really excited about.
Same. Swag bags are awesome. And then if you get the VIP ticket, you get two swag bags. You know, so you get the VIP swag bag and then you get the LashCon swag bag that everybody gets. It's crazy. Last year, I didn't know that. So like, I'm like, where am I going to fit all this stuff? I literally had to go to the Target down the street and buy a duffel bag just so I could take all my swag bag stuff back with me.
Dang.
It was so much stuff. So anyone listening to this, make sure you bring an extra bag because you will get a lot of shit.
That's definitely like a lot of stuff. We're actually doing something a little bit different in the swag bags this year. So I'll tease that out too for anyone who gets one of our items in the swag bag. So that should be good. We're doing just definitely a different approach this year to it. I'm so excited.
I like that. Switching it up.
Yeah, definitely love to switch it up where we can. With LashCon, we talked about the side as a brand, but you went last year alone, right? Just
yes, I did.
All by yourself as an artist. What was that experience like? Just tell us everything.
It definitely was a little intimidating at first because it's like on the first day I would show up to like, I remember it was the cocktail party. I, you know, showed up alone and, you know, so I was kind of a little afraid to go talk to people. And there was other girls that I was going to be meeting up with that I hadn't met in person, but haven't been talking to online. They just hadn't got there yet. So I'm just like sitting there sipping on my drink, looking on my phone, you know, the infamous look up, play on your phone, act like you're busy. And I remember I finally got the balls to walk. I saw Mac Lash Mom, Mackenzie,
yes.
Someone I look up to, and I saw her and I just kind of walked up to her and I was like, oh my God, I love you. And we were just like talking for a little bit. So that kind of made me feel better. And then like, as the evening went on, I got a little more out of my shell. And then as more time went on, the days went on, like I just got more confident and more confident. And the cool thing too, with the LashCon app, there's a LashCon app. You can network with girls on there. There's tons of girls who are commenting like, hey, let's meet up. I'm going alone myself. I even have posted on my story, hey, I'm attending alone. I'm a little intimidated. And there were so many girls that reached out to me and was like, I would be at LashCon. Please come and say hi. So if you don't have anyone to go with, please don't let that stop you from coming. Because by the end of the event, you will leave with a lash bestie or a couple. One of the girls that I met there, like we hung out the whole time. And she's literally like my lash sister. And we're so much like, I found out her birthday is like 2 days after mine. So we're both Sagittarius.
Wow.
And she likes the spooky, edgy stuff too. Her brand is that vibe. So it just made sense. We connected. So it's okay if you're a little shy, but you know, don't be. I'll be there. You can come talk to me. That was me last year. I was in your shoes. Don't be afraid to reach out to me and ask me questions on about what to expect. Too. That also made me a little intimidated. This is my first time. I didn't know what to expect. It was like freshman year. And it's like this year, I'm a sophomore. I'm going again. I'm not intimidated. I'm not shy. I'm about to walk up in there like, hey, y'all.
I love that.
You know, I know what I'm doing. I know what to expect. Like,
Oh, that's so nice.
And then one thing I am excited about too, like my husband went to Pasadena with me, but he kind of just like, you know, did his own thing. Where this year it's cool. They added on the extra ticket. So if you have someone coming with you that's a spouse or a friend, they can attend like the night little parties with you. I'm super excited to have my husband there so he could see the Lash World, like the industry that I work in.
That's going to be eye-opening for him.
There were so many husbands and boyfriends last year that were there, and they worked with their spouses. That was, like, so awesome to see a lot of the brands, like, that had their spouses working with them. Like, power couple. I love that.
Yes, that's definitely pretty common, actually. You're right, with a lot of the brands.
And I didn't know that until I went there. I was like, oh, my God, look at all these husbands. Yes, supporting their wives.
What is your favorite thing about LashCon? Can you even say one thing?
Oh, there's so many. I really love the networking, building the relationships. You will build relationships that will last forever. Like us, like we met there last year and now I consider us friends. Swag bags, obviously. Parties at night. Those are super fun because it feels like a girls' night. A bunch of girls letting their hair down, just having a good time after being in like the classes and like listening to the speakers all day. It's just a nice time to unwind. Definitely looking forward to Lash Anarchist pajama party.
Yes.
That really was my favorite. Her and her husband really know how to throw a party.
Like, she throws great parties.
That DJ was amazing. He literally was playing 90s, early 2000s, which is my favorite era. Like, takes me back to high school. Like, I was dancing so hard and I was sweating so hard I had to change pajamas. Thank God I brought a second set of pajamas. I literally had
to go. That's hilarious.
I had a onesie on the first time and I went upstairs and changed. If you're a dancer like me, please wear cooler pajamas.
What I like about Allie's parties is they're so inclusive. You don't feel awkward or uncomfortable, and you might for like a second, but it's also a pajama party. Like, it's not show up in a 500 dress type party. You know, it's very like easy to think of kind of like, okay, I could just show up as I am who I am and I'm accepted.
Exactly. I love that last day you get to be comfortable in pajamas and just like have a good old time.
I love that. Except for I'm like all stressed out on what pajamas. I'm like, it's easy. And then I'm sitting here going, oh no, what pajamas am I going to wear?
I have not found pajamas yet. I've been looking.
Me neither.
I had talked to her about the theme and I was like, what it was going to be. And I'm like, ooh, maybe I'll find some pajamas that kind of goes with the vibe of the theme this year. And then I got Halloween onesies for like me, my husband, and my son. They're skeletons and they glow in the dark. And I was like, that'd be so cute to be my husband showed up in matching onesies. But I'm like, damn, it's going to be hot though. I'm going to sweat out of that thing.
Yeah, so, you will.
I don't know yet. I've been looking. So we'll see what I come up with.
So for you, it's really all about the community for this event. What you love and what you look forward to.
Yes, I am huge advocate for community over competition. And I love that now in the lash industry, it wasn't so much when I started my business 4 years ago that people are, you know, advocating for community. Like, that whole competition shit, no, throw that out the window. I love having lash sisters and people I can connect with, talk to, people who do what I do and understand what I do, you know? Because it's like, I can come home at the end of the day and vent to my husband about something, but it's like, he's only going to understand so much.
Right. Oh, yeah. totally get it. I really like that the Lash Conference has brought everyone together this way. Do you think that the Lash Conference really is a sense of community, meaning that any lash artist can show up, find someone they connect with, and feel like they fit in? Because it can be a little intimidating to go alone, to see so many people and see that others already know each other and are kind of like talking. You know, do you feel like it's set up in a way for everyone to actually leave with that lash bestie?
Yes, I do. No matter how small your brand is or how big your brand is, I definitely get a sense of community there. I mean, literally, like I said, I went by myself and I met so many people and made so many connections with people. And I'm looking forward to seeing some of those same people this year. And then also another thing that I love about it is like people that you look up to in the industry, they're there and you can talk to them and hang out with them. They're just like regular people. Like, there's so many people there that I looked up to that I got to talk to. You know, of course, I was like scared at first, but I talked to them. Now I have relationships with them. So yes, there is definitely a sense of community. And I promise you, you will leave with a bestie. Even if it's just one, you will leave with someone that you connected with.
Oh, I'm getting chills. Last year was my first year at LashCon as well, of course, working on the brand side of it, but it was really nice. I did make connections. I mean, hi, you're one of them, of course, and yes, many others just from being there. And I remember that with going to the International Beauty Show, and even though that is like a whole beauty industry type conference, still found all the lash artists, still made connections at that. So I think that all these different conferences are really powerful as long as you take that first step. You know, it's easy to be intimidated and walk away, but just keep walking into it.
That's why I said, even post on your story that you're going and looking to make friends. Like, you'll have girls in your DMs like, hey, girl, we should meet up. So that part would even make it easier, too, because you already kind of met them so that you could look for them there. So, yeah, definitely get a feel of sense of community there, no matter how small or big your brand is.
I absolutely love this.
I'm so happy that they created this conference. It's the one conference that is for lash artists. I mean, there's other conferences out there, like beauty ones that includes lash artists, but this one is just lashes. And I love it. And it's in California. I loved California when I lived there. The weather is beautiful. Last year at LashCon, the weather was like perfect. It was like 75 every day. Mm-hmm. So yes, if you are thinking about going to LashCon, you should go. It's a write-off as well. So, and it definitely benefit your business.
I like that. It has a really good lineup this year too. I was looking through a lot of the different topics.
Yes, it has such a variety of people in the topics, you know?
Yeah, the topics I was really looking into because, you know, in the past, a lot of times the speaking conferences were getting really redundant with the same thing over and over. So
Yeah. This
time I even saw that there's stuff in there about like legalities of your business. And I was like, you know, like they're really thinking through what is going to help you succeed. What's going to help you figure out what path to be on.
And I think there's even some speakers that aren't necessarily in the lash industry.
Correct.
But what they do can pertain to it. You know, and you can still relate like what they're going to be like talking about. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that and the different speakers.
Ooh, it's a jam-packed schedule. If you guys aren't getting to go this year, I hope you put it on your calendar for next year, especially getting ahead of it. I know that the price point is what I hear can be pretty intimidating to artists, but if you know you want to go, you see how much it is, perhaps that's something you can start saving up for, maybe putting some of that extra money aside that comes in during holiday season when usually the salon is a little busier, and, you know, doing payment plans too. It has a really high value.
And if you can't go this year, they have virtual tickets.
True.
Which, you know, everything is recorded. So you could still see the speakers and stuff like that as if you were there and get some good information from it. So if you can't go, definitely think about getting a virtual ticket.
I think the virtual ticket's really exciting to me because I do enjoy networking with everyone, but sometimes I just get in that mode where I just want to like soak up all the education I can. And that's a way you can. And you can do it from the comfort of your own home or, you know, whatever.
Yes, exactly.
I really like that. And it was funny because last year, because so many lash artists enjoy the socialization part in the parties, they were getting so exhausted at night that then they weren't even showing up to the conference during the day. They were staying in their hotel room watching it on their phones. And I was laughing so hard at that. But I mean, it is just so funny. Everyone can take something different away from this conference. So whatever it is that you like in a conference, it accommodates quite a lot, I feel.
Well, and one thing too about the conference is like, they give you the schedule ahead of time. So don't exhaust yourself trying to go to any and everything. That's what I did last year, being a first timer. I was like, I got to go to every single class, every single speaker. Where I was like, I didn't take naps, man. I'm 32 years old. I need to take naps. So this year, I'm going to plan out my days. And the people that I definitely want to see in person, I will see. And the people I'm like, you know what? I can just wait and watch that virtually. Whenever they drop that afterwards, I will do that. Because it is exhausting. And the nights are long with the after parties. And the days start like at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. Like, it's a long day. So yes, I definitely won't be doing that again.
Yeah, I don't hang out at all the parties. That's probably no surprise to anyone. I go for a little bit and then I have to leave.
Well, you guys are doing a booth, so and you're there
it's all
pretty
day.
Much like all day at the booth. I feel like that could even be exhausting. So
it's definitely exhausting. You get to meet a lot of people, see a lot of faces, and for me, I don't like to talk super loud and it's got a bit of noise. So it's always just like very like difficult because I'm trying to like talk over the noise.
So, like,
I'm exhausted just from trying to get my voice loud enough. It's so funny. Well, I'm really excited. I'm excited to hear how it goes for you being in the swag bag. I really hope that it's super successful for you. In fact, maybe we should have you back on to share how that experience goes, like on the podcast.
Yes, that would be awesome to do like a follow-up after LashCon sometime.
Yeah, I just think that would be really cool. Just the differences.
Yes, even with me planning on promoting my next merch drop at LashCon, it'd be interesting to see if that helps, you know?
I mean, you might not want to give away all your secrets, and I understand, but at least you and I will go get like a pumpkin spice latte or something together, and we can catch up.
Yes, yes. And pumpkin spice season's almost over. It's almost peppermint mocha season.
Okay, I guess we're going to be in that peppermint mocha season by the time we get to catch up on this.
Yes, like I love pumpkin spice. I love pumpkin spice season, but I've had so much pumpkin spice that I'm just like almost over it. Like, and I'm just like, oh, but I can't switch up the flavor until November at least.
You are so funny.
Like I've had it so much because I have like three like little gallon, like the pints, the personal size, different pumpkin spice ice cream in my freezer right now. And I just nibble on each one, you know, here and there.
You're definitely someone who like enjoys the seasons, enjoys all of that stuff that like comes with it. Festive. There it is.
Oh, yeah. I'm festive.
Thank you again, Leola, for being on the Untamed podcast with me today and for sharing all your tips, insight, and experiences with us. If you don't mind, can you leave our listeners with just one last piece of advice for anyone who's maybe feeling like they don't fit in or has a different type of aesthetic or just is figuring out how to let themselves shine?
Oh, God. Put me on the spot there. Don't worry about fitting in so much. Just find your tribe, the tribe that you vibe with, and just be yourself. That's something I've learned too. Just be yourself. Be uniquely you. Is that the Untamed quote? Yeah, be uniquely you. Yeah, just be yourself. Don't worry about fitting in. Find the tribe that you vibe with.
That's all for this episode of Untamed. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at untamedartistry.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, as your study buddy, we are always here for you. Don't hesitate to send us a DM at untamed.artistry.